Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. What does this story about LeBron James and the Golden State Warriors say about his future in LA? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. It's always free. It is never behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where over 23,000 subscribers are all hanging out and talking Lakers, talking about this, the good vibes the Lakers have heading into the All-Star break, which is something we'll explore, if not today, certainly going into next week. It is a fun time to be a Lakers fan, and an interesting one because the good feelings, Andy, are coming right at the same time as we got this report that was really kind of centered on all the bad feelings, like folks coming around and kicking the tires on LeBron James just to find out, you know, did that hourglass emoji mean that he wants to leave because we might be interested in his services?
Well, it was more than just the hourglass emoji. It was LeBron's do your job edict to, you know, everybody.
Right, including Rob Pelinka to trade him.
Well, I've not gotten there. No, that is not fair.
Yeah, it was a joke.
I made
a joke.
Well, no, but I want to make sure just chronologically everybody understands. We had not gotten there. We just hadn't also not gotten there either. You know, there was the passive aggressive comments about rotations. You know, Rui should be playing more. Rui should understand his role. By the way, lines that I was personally feeding LeBron to passive aggressively throw out there. You know, there was him doing his best to make, hey, I'm in New York, a story. As much as I think people latched onto it, you know, certain comments out of context, there's no question LeBron walking through the bowels of Madison Square Garden yelling, "The king is in the garden," or whatever. Like, you know, that's going to create a story, particularly when you're wearing like orange LeBrons or whatever you call his sneakers. I don't know. I'm not a sneaker guy.
They are LeBrons. I mean,
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I mean, I doubt he's wearing like Reeves's shoes.
No, so, I just don't know if they have a name. Like, I don't know if they're called.
Well, we can call them LeBrons.
Sure.
It's a reminder of how many things are happening at one time.
Real quick. Also, said that he did not know whether or not he'd pick up his option for this offseason, which, as we explained, is the perfectly logical response, but still.
Right. There was even if he could have already, you know, been investing that money from his option that he knew he was going to pick up and still said, I don't know what I'm going to do, because he doesn't gain anything from talking about it in that way. It's just what I was saying is it is fascinating to me how there's sort of a micro and a macro dynamic always working here. Like, what's the short term and what is, I guess, in as long term for as long term as anything can be with LeBron. Like, there are these immediate needs, and then there are the intermediate needs, and then there are the long term needs, and how the Lakers balance all of these things and how we perceive LeBron as balancing all of these things, because he's got his own criteria. Do I want to be away from my family? If I'm not going to play for the Lakers, that means I'm not, my family's not moving again. So I'm going to be on the road for a year. Do I want to do that? Do I want to be away from, you know, the businesses and all that kind of stuff? I like it in LA. Do I want to go somewhere cold for another year? All of these other things play into the, how badly do I want to win one more title before I'm done? Do I think the Lakers are the team to give me a real opportunity to deliver it? And by the way, the answer to that question looks different today as we go into the All-Star break than it did 2.5 weeks ago.
Right. And in the meantime, this was all coming out, or I guess this was all, I don't know if in motion is too strong, because ultimately it was just some phone calls that didn't really go anywhere serious beyond the fact that you've got Joe Lacob and Jeannie Buss involved. So you're talking super high ups, but it's not even known what the Warriors would have offered in a deal, which we'll discuss. That in and of itself is fascinating, but that was coming at a time where the Warriors themselves were in a lot of flux. And for what it's worth, I don't think they are as stabilized, at least for the time being, as the Lakers, even though the Warriors have been also better since that period. And LeBron and Steph have always had this dance around each other, whether as rivals who've taken titles from each other or guys who've come around to, I think, having a really outward respect for each other and really recognizing that they are the two players of their generation who changed the game, like in ways that will always be remembered. And they're currently the two, I think they're still the two faces of the league when it's all said and done, even with guys like Giannis coming up behind him, Jokic coming up behind him, Jason Tatum, Wemby in the wings, whoever. Like these are still the two faces of the NBA. So it's interesting to think about the two of them teaming up together as I guess is maybe like a last dance type thing for LeBron in the NBA before eventually retiring. And also, I just want to make sure this isn't forgotten. What jumped out at me more than even the potential machinations of this deal and that it taking place, the phone call, was this nugget from Woj and Ramona that LeBron's plan right now, whether with the Lakers or anybody, is to opt out of his current deal into a new deal with a bump. And just the idea of what does that look like with LeBron, whether
by the way, that is also our strategy, David Locke, for when we renegotiate our contract to opt out and get a little bit of a bump for this freight train like LeBron that is Locked On Lakers.
But like, what does that look like? Are we talking another 1+1? Are we talking about 2 years set in stone? 53 million, 54? Like,
what would you want if you were the Lakers? You can make solid arguments for both, like that. And I'll tell you where I said, I think the 1+1 works best for the Lakers here in the sense that you don't know when you are going to want exactly to stop committing $55 million a year to LeBron, when that just becomes untenable, when the injury bug catches up, or when it might be. This version of LeBron, I would pay him this kind of money in perpetuity. But I just don't know how long it's going to last. He's playing really well. He's a max guy. If every year I knew I was going to get this performance.
Problem is, he's a very specific max guy. If you're talking about the raw production, he's a max guy. If you're talking about all of the handling that goes along with LeBron and trying to maintain him, he's the most complicated max guy, not just in the league, arguably in league history. He is a very complicated guy to build a team around and to try to maximize an entire season towards the playoffs, because he is the superstar that you want to do as little superstar stuff as possible, particularly in the first 2 to 3 months where you can start revving it up. Yet the production needs to come from somewhere, and it's more difficult to find that production when $55 million is with one guy.
That's okay. Because it's a little like what the Dodgers, I think, in a perfect world would do. This year they'll have to because he's injured, but ideally the Dodgers with Clayton Kershaw every year would be okay, great. Spring training is in, now basically. But you just show up in July. Do what you want to do. Come by in July. Pitch for us in July, August, and September. We're cool with that. We'll and there is if the Lakers could get LeBron just to start playing in February, that might be a good way to do it. But let's talk more about that, because what you're talking about here is, I guess, the crux of the argument in terms of what you do with LeBron. It's a topic that everydayers, I think, will recognize you've brought out a few times, and how the Lakers balance this stuff going forward is an interesting one. So we'll get to that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by eBay Motors, and our partners at eBay Motors have teamed up with Locked On Fantasy Basketball host Josh Lloyd to bring you some of the best fantasy picks each week, all season long. Whether you're prepping for a daily draft or scouting the waiver wire, every week we're going to provide you with players guaranteed to fit your roster. So let's see who Josh has picked out for this week's eBay's Guaranteed Fit Fantasy Picks of the Week. Marvin Bagley III, he is the Wizards' likely starting center now that Daniel Gafford is in Dallas. So he's worth grabbing for fantasy leagues. And Benedict Mathurin, Buddy Hield is now in Philly, so that means more minutes for Mathurin, who at his best can really fill it up. Josh Lloyd from Locked On Fantasy Basketball is going to help you win your fantasy championship, and eBay Motors knows a championship team is about each player being a perfect fit. Same thing with your vehicle. There is nothing worse than having your car break down. I've dealt with it before, and I wish that I had used eBay Motors back then, gotten ahead of it. I wouldn't have suffered through this. They've got over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, and you can make sure that it's running smoothly. They got brake kits, LED headlights, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. eBay Guaranteed Fit, only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, so before we get to back to this part that you were bringing up here, because it's I want to kind of dig into that a little bit more. The comment section from for Thursday show, when we talked both about this LeBron stuff, but also the Rui stuff. We got some really interesting ones. I want to read this one, though, about LeBron and the concept of trading LeBron, since that's what we're talking about. This from Youngmaster 626. Why would you even consider trading with Golden State when they're in the same conference? Lakers management and Jeannie Buss are a bunch of dummies letting old fart dictate trades. I believe the old fart in question would be LeBron in this particular case. Bunch of clowns with a clown emoji. I can't tell you how much I disagree here with Youngmaster 626 for two reasons. First of all, actually a few. The first one is the LeBron trade market is actually going to be a lot more constricted, I think, than people would imagine. He's a very difficult player to trade. It's hard to do. Second, the rule for your organization should be to get the best return possible, always. If you trade within the division, if you trade within, maybe you factor that as part of the return. Like, we could lose more games, but you get the best return possible. You don't worry about trading him to a rival. Third, the biggest reason you'd be trading LeBron or parting ways with LeBron, at least a biggest reason for that, Andy, would be that because you don't think he's going to be playing very much longer, or you think his play is going to be diminished. So if you think that's the case, go grab the players you want. And I don't think you worry as much about whether LeBron's next team is a team that you would be competing with to get to the Western Conference Finals.
Well, there's also the other reason you would trade LeBron in this scenario. It's, you know, LeBron does not want to be there. And a season of LeBron openly unhappy could be difficult. And while I don't think LeBron would pout away one of his, you know, few remaining seasons in the NBA, like, I think he's both too professional and also too smart to realize, like, yeah, I ain't exactly got many more of these to have in front of me. But it's a lot when you're a superstar, particularly when a superstar of LeBron's caliber, like iconic, all-time great caliber. Guys like that unhappy is a lot to deal with. Like, we covered Kobe during the period where he and Powell won championships, but we were also there for the trade request and the radio tour, and we were neck deep in all of that. And that was messy. And even the best times with Kobe was a lot of eggshell walking, because he demanded a lot, and he earned the right to demand it, so it's clear, but he demanded a lot, and there was a lot of massaging that went along with Kobe, even in the best days when you knew he wanted to be there for sure and wanted to be a Laker for life. If LeBron's really that unhappy, it doesn't just get in the way of that season. It's like you're kind of interfering with one of Anthony Davis's prime years.
And that's part of what's interesting about this is like, at what point does this turn from like, you know, satisfying LeBron and all these other things? Anthony Davis is the best player on the Lakers. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think anybody really debates that. I don't think LeBron necessarily would debate. He's been talking about like, this needs to be quote unquote Anthony Davis's team. And it is on the floor. And like LeBron, particularly over a regular season, like LeBron lifts his energy, lifts his performance when it's needed and can still be a devastatingly effective player.
And his voice matters most in that locker room.
Yeah. But it's still like any team that has LeBron James on it is going to be defined first and foremost by LeBron James, particularly when that second star is somebody like Davis who isn't hyper vocal. He's, you know, he'll speak his mind and all, but he's not the presence media wise. He doesn't have the profile of LeBron. He's just not the first person everybody's going to turn to for a response on everything. On the one hand, I think that helps the Lakers in the sense that you don't have to cater quite as hard to LeBron. But like you say, it does create this sort of interesting dichotomy where LeBron's presence is a little bit bigger than his play, but his play is still really important, except you do need to kind of bolster that play over the course of 82 games, which is why, by the way, it is so important that guys like Rui are playing better and really elevating, and Reeves has overcome, and Russell. Like, you need that support underneath LeBron to make it so you get the best parts of him at the right time.
Absolutely. I mean, two things can be true at once. It is legitimately amazing and unprecedented that LeBron is still able to produce and perform at this level. Like, just that he can put up numbers like this 21 seasons in a, you know, key role on this team. That is legitimately amazing. There is also a lot that has to be planned for and planned around with LeBron at this stage of his career and some of the things that he can't do ramping up on a regular basis, game in, game out, over 82 games. Like, I've mentioned this before, the type of dynamic nature that we saw second end of a back-to-back in Utah, shorthanded by the Lakers in that win on Wednesday night, that is way easier to do without LeBron. And that's not to say that they're a better team without LeBron, because I think especially once you get into the playoffs and you're talking about crunch time and you're talking about just problem solving, because LeBron is one of the best problem solvers in NBA history, and like being able to adjust to the adjustments and read the floor faster than anybody else, you need LeBron. But insofar as just a regular season and just playing balls to the walls in February, it is easier to do that without LeBron. It just is. And all of those things.
Well, I understand. Like, where is the line? Like, where is that? And there are moments, you know, the Warriors game and, you know, the Knicks game, like these big nationally
televised. They can't all be nationally televised games, Brian.
The Lakers are doing their best and the NBA is doing its best.
I'm just saying.
If there weren't a legal cap on these things, what is it? 37 television appearances.
I know, but I'm saying the legal cap creates problems for the other 47 games.
That's a Hornets problem, not a me problem.
No, I just mean, it's also a LeBron problem.
Right. There is, we are reaching the point as we get past the All-Star break into late February, into March, into April, where this becomes less of a problem. But you know, that level, the problem for the Lakers this year is that they had to do way too much LeBron in October, November, early December. Like, we laughed at Darvin. We've laughed at Darvin a few times this year, but we laughed at Darvin the first game of the year. Like, we want LeBron to play 30 minutes a night. Ha ha ha. Good luck with that. And it's been true. Like, no, that's just hasn't been, they haven't been able to make that work. But from a practical standpoint, in terms of like, if the goal on game in game one is to get him through game 82, having played 65 to 70 games and be as fresh as possible. Yeah, damn right the goal is to play him 30 minutes a night and put a limit there at 32 and try to keep him below that and do whatever you have to do to make that happen. But as you mentioned, Andy, that requires a certain kind of roster building to facilitate something like that. How do you build a roster that has a different purpose for the first 3 months than it will for the last 3 months? It's kind of an interesting question for Rob Pelinka.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, they managed to do it. And who knows, in the Earth 2 version of the Lakers, where Jared Vanderbilt doesn't get hurt in the preseason, and for all the flack Laker fans and even I have given Darvin about rotation choices, I do actually think if Vanderbilt had been healthy at the beginning of the season, he would have been the starting three, not Torian Prince. And perhaps a lot of anxiety and angst is avoided, but nonetheless, here we are now.
Right. And if Rui had, you know, Rui's healthier, throughout early in the season, and there were some performance issues from his standpoint too, where in fairness to the coaching staff, he wasn't as good as he needed to be. And then you could argue about whether or not he was put in those positions to succeed.
That's my argument.
Yeah, no, I know. But before we get off of this though, like, well, next segment, let's get into like how long you think this is going to last. Like, do you think we'll get any clarity? When do you think we'll get any clarity? What do you think could provide clarity as to what the Lakers can plan for in the offseason? Because if LeBron wants to stay here and improve, even if it's behind the scenes, the Lakers having an understanding of what he plans to do will be a big part of that. So we'll get into that. And the interesting question of who benefits from a leak like this, all of that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Robinhood. And did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this, now through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right. It's a no cap 3% match offer. And Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer is good through April 30th. Get started at Robinhood.com/boost. Subscription fees apply, and also now some legal info. Claim as of Q1 2024 is validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of the first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRA available to U.S. customers in good standing. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer.
Locked On Lakers is also brought to you by Logix. You know, on this show, you get a lot of in-depth analysis and hot takes, right? Let me give you my hottest take of the day. The best lineup in LA and the surrounding areas right now is the lineup of auto loans at Logix. They start off at the top with my favorites, the proven and dependable new and used vehicle loans. You can count on these guys to give you low rates and save you big time bucks. And next up, they've got an exciting new rookie sensation in their electric vehicle loans with super low rates and flexible payment terms. Rounding out their lineup, they've got their auto refinancing and lease buyout loans. And with these guys, you could lower your monthly payments and get on the road to owning your car faster. Look, I know it's a hot take, but seriously, no one can beat the lineup at Logix. So visit your local Logix branch right here in LA and the surrounding areas and let one of their amazing team members help you. Or just apply online in minutes at logixbanking.com/car. That's logixbanking.com/car. So, I mean, as you and I have been doing this long enough to know that anytime there's a story that comes out about something as potentially explosive and headline grabbing as Joe Lacob calls Jeannie Buss to kick the tires on a LeBron James trade, it is out there for a reason. People do not leak information and confirm information and all these other things without purpose. What do you think is the purpose here? Who benefits from this story being out there?
This is what's fascinating to me, Brian. I think this is the rare story where everybody involved benefits to some degree from it being out there. Like, first of all, there's LeBron and Clutch and I guess tertiary Draymond as a high-profile part of Clutch, whether this is to keep pressure on Pelinka this offseason, that, you know, LeBron could have left. He could have said trade me, but he was loyal. Don't take LeBron for granted, you know, or just to set up his exit, because let's say they fizzle out in the playoffs or play in. You're setting the table for, hey, we could have left when Bleep was going sideways earlier this year, but we stuck it out. But now it's time. LeBron is on the clock. We have to go. Draymond, by the way, also is somebody who helped facilitate this. Everybody was reminded he's still got a lot of juice in that building, despite all the stuff that comes with Draymond. It's a reminder that even with 40 around the corner, LeBron remains in demand. The Lakers also benefited because they let the world know they didn't even consider moving LeBron. Their stance was only if LeBron wants out, nothing less. Rob Pelinka's response to the Warriors was, hey, talk to Genie, but it ain't happening. And he told Daryl Morey, who, talk about your shoot your shot guy, when Daryl Morey inquired about LeBron to Philly, Pelinka apparently responded, fine, give us Embiid, because he knew that would end the call. But then also the Warriors benefited because they sent a message that they're also not taking Steph for granted. And without specifically naming any of the young players involved, it goes without saying that if you're acquiring LeBron, some of these young guys like Jonathan Kuminga, who had been referred to as virtually untouchable, Pajemski, Moses Moody, like they would at least be willing to consider moving some of those guys. And there are a lot of Warrior fans, Warrior media, who feel like they give too much credence to the old guard in that building. I feel like everybody, it was almost like a race to leak this thing, if I had to guess. Like
as if it's been orchestrated with the express purpose of being able to leak it. So, because it's good news for everyone.
Yeah, I really do. I feel like everybody benefited from this getting out. Like, if anything, they were probably just mad that it took this long.
And like, it's, they get it. The Ramon and Woj are happy. Like,
you know, yeah. everybody we're happy.
Yeah,
everybody won.
2 days of content out of this.
The Locked On Network won, you know, like The Athletic, ESPN, like everybody won.
It just goes to show that if people work together, good things can still happen in this world.
Yes.
But you kind of mentioned it, like, you know, the LeBron, because this is really where it becomes. Yeah, I know I'm sure will be people in the comment section, guys, stop talking about LeBron. He's not going. It's relevant. Why? We'll get everybody set up for the second half of the season. But like, this is the, like, the framing conversation for what the Lakers do this offseason. I'm old enough to remember, Andy, when we were very upset at the Lakers and people were very angry on the comment section of the YouTube channel because the Lakers didn't do anything in the offseason. It was going to chase away LeBron and it ruined their frittered away another chance for them to win a title. You know, their best chance. And what are we doing this for? To hold on to a draft pick? You know, I'm old enough to remember that. What they do this offseason is directly related to what they think LeBron is going to do. Is he going to sign? Does he demand to sign for 2 years guaranteed? Does he want 3 years guaranteed? Does he want, you know, is he willing to do a year 1-1? I think he's going to just keep doing 1-1s for the rest of his career. Gives him the most leverage, gives, you know, him the ability to get out if he wants to. And in theory doesn't commit teams to too long. I don't know. But like, if the Lakers know LeBron wants to get into another 1-1, I'm sure they have budgeted in him opting out and then opting and then re-signing for a 1-1 at a max. Like, they've done that cap work, but they need to know that to most effectively lay the groundwork for what will become a very important summer.
Yeah. It's interesting. I did a little bit of just rough math. The cap is projected this offseason to be at around $141 million. And the Lakers, as it stands, they've got about $99 million in committed salary between AD, Rui, Reeves, Gabe Vincent, Vando, and Jalen Hood-Schifino. And there's about another $79 million that's fluid between LeBron, D'Lo, Christian Wood, Cam Reddish, Jackson Hayes, Maxwell Lewis. If LeBron left, but everyone else opted into their options and the Lakers picked up Maxwell Lewis, they'd have only about $14 million in cap space. If there's no LeBron and D'Lo opts out, though, but everyone else is in, you've got about $32 to $33 million. I'm not counting stuff like cap holds. I mean, it's just getting too far in the weeds. But just roughly, this is what you're looking with or working with. So another interesting wrinkle in this is if LeBron wanted to leave, the Lakers' direct benefit from that, just in terms of roster construction, then becomes incredibly tied to D'Lo's decision.
But either way, if you're left in a position where you have to replace both D'Angelo Russell and LeBron James
with
$32 million, give or take, even if it's $50 million, you're going to come up short.
I'm not presenting it as a good thing. I'm just saying this is the math.
And that's part of, but I do think there's like, this is why these things matter. Like if LeBron wants to go, the best thing for him to get where he wants, because most of the teams where he would be willing to play don't have the straight cap space to sign him. And LeBron James, maybe at this point in his career, if he was that desperate to leave, might, okay, fine, I'll play for your mid-level or whatever it is. But
do that for the Lakers, dude. What's your problem?
But that ain't likely. LeBron has long been committed to the idea, like Kobe was, of like, no, I need to be paid my value. It is important to us as a players association. It is important to the principal. Like, I need to get paid what I'm worth. And what he's worth is a max contract. Maybe not a 10-year max, 5-year max contract, but for 1 year, sure. So ultimately, it is a trade that likely, and the mechanics of this and the new CBA are too weedy and complicated to get into here. But like all of these dynamics matter, about where he could go, what he could bring in a return, all of this stuff. Like, is Jonathan Kuminga and Moody and Pajimski and whatever salary ballast plus draft picks, is that enough to justify LeBron to trading him? You just gotta really think Kuminga is really good really quick. If LeBron demands to go, okay, well, that might change the equation. But like, how much, if you're the other team, do you really want to give up for what amounts to potentially one shot with LeBron? You can't count on more than 1 year. You might get it, but you can't count on it. It is just, the dynamics around LeBron are remarkably complicated, and all of them point to the easiest, best thing for LeBron, assuming the organization doesn't completely crap the bed, is for him to stay here, because he gets the best of all the stuff, because the Lakers offer the most flexibility to build around him without gutting their assets.
Yeah. And, the other piece of this that we're not going to get too far into, in Momo and Woj's report touched on, the brawny of it all and planning, contingencies for possibly bringing him in. For the time being, you and I've talked about this before, I'm not really focusing on that because I'm not convinced Bronny's going to be in the NBA next year. I mean, honestly, I think if LeBron really cares about Bronny's basketball career, he should encourage him to stay in USC or stay in college. It would appear, neither one of us are experts, but the general overwhelming consensus seems to be he is not NBA ready yet.
And just to your point, I mean, I have not watched a second of USC basketball. I do not like watching college basketball, and USC isn't very good. He's shooting 35.5% from the floor, 27.5% from three-point range. He's averaging 5.8 points a game, 3 rebounds, 2.5 assists. This does not scream. I now know there are guys who come out and their statistical production is lower and all that. That is not the statistical profile of somebody who needs to leave after their freshman year.
No, it actually feels like
a heart condition.
It feels like the statistical profile of somebody that could actually build up a lot of resentment among teammates who feel like he got a spot he didn't really deserve. And that sucks for Bronny.
It is a fascinating dynamic, this whole LeBron James thing. It is, like I mentioned in the first segment, one of the things that I find just so fascinating about it is how much the vibes have changed from when this story would have been theoretically kind of produced, like when these phone calls would have been happening, to what people feel about the team today. And that will be obviously the subject as we come back post All-Star break into next week. The Lakers play, ironically, in Golden State to start the stretch run here. So it is going to be a lot of fun, and we will find out quickly if this resurgent Lakers run that they're on is for real, because, oh my gosh, I know we've said this at different times throughout the season, their schedule coming out of the break is something to behold. They play a lot of good teams, so it's going to be a lot of fun, and we will be here for all of it. Lock on Lakers on YouTube is where you can go hang out with over 23,000 subscribers. Leave us questions, leave us comments, what you want to talk about coming out of the break. We will be reading all of that and bringing it into the show. Everyone have a great weekend. Enjoy the All-Star game. We'll see you on Monday.